Good to see everybody. Thank you for the greetings. It's always nice to get greeted before I come up. But yes, it is wonderful. We're in fall. I don't know if you all feel it, but yeah, after Labor Day, we are now in fall. We have a series. Our series for the fall will be on the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at passages that talk about the Holy Spirit. We have a little fist bump from John Adams over there. Good to know. But before we do that, one of the things we like to do, and what I like to do as we kind of move into a new season of the life of our church, is just to take stock of some of our values. And when I came here, we're on year 7, so it was 6 years ago that I came here after some phone calls with Bill Runyon and some of the elders, and came here and looked at what God was doing here at Taft Avenue Community Church. We put out some values, and there's some things, as you go to different churches, you're going to find that there are things at churches that we all want to do well. We all want to engage the Bible well. We all want to love Jesus well. We all want to worship well. We all want to serve our community well. But there's other kind of underlying values that we want to lean into. And if you've come in the doors of our church, you've seen these kind of four guiding values on our wall in the back, and I want to talk about one of them, but just to go through them, the first one, and the primary one that really leads all other values in our church is this value of anticipating that God will move. We're going to be talking today about a congregation of growing people, but I just want to run through these, that anticipating that God will move. I don't think there's anything else that really, when you walk into a room, when you walk into this church, when you pick up your Bible to pray, when you go to serve at the Hub and you serve our homeless population, when you serve at the volunteer serve day, when you go to a women's event, you go to a men's event, why do we even do these things? Why are we even here? And we're not here because we're going to play church, right? Like, I mean, sometimes that's the way our life works. We go because this is what I'm supposed to do. We come because we anticipate that God is going to do something. That God loves this world and wants to make himself known. And we're not just coming here to play church. We're anticipating that God will move. Sometimes we wonder, like, why am I going to men's Bible study? I'm going to men's Bible study because I anticipate that God will move. Why am I going to go to the women's barbecue? Not just because it's a place to meet people. I'm anticipating that God will move. We want everything that we do. Is anybody else getting pumped up here? Is it just me? I want everything that we do not to be about the thing itself, but because we're anticipating that God is going to move. It's our primary moving value in this community. And if it's not, it's an aspirational value, right? Like some of these things we embody currently, but some of these things we want to aspire towards. And maybe this is an aspirational value, but I think for me, I remind myself of these all the time. I go back, I'm like, am I anticipating that God is going to move? Or am I doubting? Or am I like wondering? And I didn't come to this church because I'm like, I wonder if God might do something at this church. I'm like, God wants to use this church as a beachhead for the gospel in the city of Orange. He will do it whether I go or not, but I want to be part of it, right? Anticipating that God will move. These are our values. And the thing is, as we articulate these, what we imagine as a community is that these would resonate with us. The more we talk, I was doing this morning, I'm like, oh, these are awesome. Like, these are good. So anyway, here's the second one. The second one is removing distractions and calling attention to God. What are we doing when we clean out a room in the church? When I came to the church, I like to tell this story because it's fun. We had, there were 7 overhead projectors. You know those things you put transparencies on, right? And it was like, hey, look, they're perfectly good overhead projectors. But nobody uses overhead projectors anymore. We have like screens and projectors and all these things. And it was like, what we needed to do was we needed to clean out closets. But what we were doing was we were not cleaning out closets, we were removing distractions. It's the same reason why when we look at our facility, we want our bathrooms clean. Because if somebody comes and the bathroom's dirty, that's a distraction. What we want is we want to call attention to God. If there's trash on the ground, it's a distraction. If things are in disrepair, it's a distraction. We want to call attention to God. Everything we do, even with our worship service, like all we want to do on this stage is we don't want any distractions on this stage. We want everything to point to God. And so remove distractions, call attention to God. Whatever ministry we're in, that's what we want to do. When we talk about our budget, when we talk, it's removing distractions, calling attention to God. And we can even do this in our own lives. Is this thing calling attention to God, or is it a distraction? And of course, we live in a world where the whole economy is built on distraction, on capturing your attention. I don't know if you knew this, everybody. The entire economy that we live in is built on capturing your attention. You might think it's about paying money. No, it's about your attention. And so this value of removing distractions, when are we going to attend and give our attention to God? And this is one of the places where we begin to do that with the week, and then we remember that this is what we're doing. We're removing distractions. We're calling attention to God. It's a core value of what we do here and in every part of our ministry here. Anticipating God will move. Removing distractions, calling attention to God. And our third one is the overwhelming value of each person. Look around, everybody. And whether you're looking around at this room, or you look around at Starbucks, or you look around at the DMV, every person there has been made in the image of God. And there is an overwhelming value to that person. There's not another person in the world like that person. And God's burning desire is that that person would know him. And if we can look around in our community, if we can look around in our church, and we can treat each other with that kind of value, what can happen? What in every ministry we have, again, is anybody else getting pumped up? These are our values. This is what gets us out of bed in the morning. This is why we have a church. This is why we have a church staff. This is why we have ministries, because we believe that God has a burning desire to make himself known in every person's life in this community, that God sees them, God knows them, God loves them, God rejoices that they come to him. There's an overwhelming value, and that includes you. That includes you. That's not in spite of you. That includes you, and that's part of our value here. Okay, so we're anticipating that God will move. We're removing distractions, calling attention to God. We understand that there's an overwhelming value of each person. You, every guest, every preschooler at Children's House, the UPS guy, every person who walks their dog past our church, right? God has a burning desire to be known in their life. All right. But today, it's not about any of those things. I can get pumped up about those things. I'll get pumped up about this one. And the fourth one is this. And it's part of our image behind us. This is our image. We had these all put in images. Anticipating God will move was a mountain. The overwhelming value of each person, there was like the sheep on the hill, the one that God will go after. Removing distractions, calling attention to God. I forget what that one was. It's like a sunrise, something like that. Okay, you guys, you're like, this is all. Okay, fourth one, a congregation of growing people. And this is what our tree images, and this is what our passages were about today. If you do have your Bibles, let's open up to Psalm 1. I just want to show us kind of the foundational image, the foundational passage of this value, a congregation of growing people, our tree graphic. And the inspiration is Psalm 1:1-3, verse 1. That as Sarah read. Sarah, by the way, is a kindergarten teacher, and I love it when she reads because it's so clear. You know, it's so clear. It's got great cadence, great clarity. It's wonderful to hear God's word with that kind of clarity, right? Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And here's our verse. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And that's why we put oranges on this tree, because we're in the city of Orange. Why not, right? But this is our image, the tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And here's the thing. We are a congregation. We are a congregation of trees planted by streams of water. We are a congregation of growing people. And this is our value. We believe that whether you are in the nursery, we had 8 kids in the nursery last week. Whatever you guys are doing, keep it up. Okay? Whether you're in the nursery, whether you're in elementary school, whether you are in middle school or high school, whether you're in college, whether you just got married, whether you just had a baby, whether you have adult kids, whether you have grandkids or great-grandkids, whether you are 9 years old or 90 years old, God has something new for you every day. Every day. There is no been there, done that. God has something new for every person in here in this next season. There is no stagnation. You will be a growing person until the day God calls you home. And even then, you will blossom in your growth. You will see him face to face. But here, God's plan for you and our value is that we are a congregation of people who wake up every morning and say, what does God have new for me today? Man, that song, Refiner's Fire, right? I remember this, the Vineyard song, Refiner's Fire. I remember this new song when it came out. I'm like, because look, when it's one thing to pray that in college, you're like, oh man, refine me. You know, and you're, because you're so unencumbered. Then you like get married, you have kids, and you're like, refine me. You're like, well, what are you going to take away? Like, what is it that you're going to refine? Like, the stakes feel higher. But the idea is that I want to pray that prayer. God, if the altar's where you need me, I'm right here, right? I want to give myself as a living sacrifice. That is a prayer. That's a hard prayer. But as a growing person, as a congregation of growing people, we want to lean into that and say, God, what do you have for me in this next season? God is shepherding you, God is growing you, and God is producing fruit in you until the day you go to be with Jesus. You are a growing person, and in this current season or this next season, God is growing you, he's growing me, into someone you are not yet. God is growing you into someone that you are not yet. And so you are like a tree planted by streams of water. And trees do two things. And this is where we're going to go over the Colossians passage. So go over to the Colossians passage, Colossians chapter 2. Because trees planted by water, streams of water, they do two things. Roots and fruits. I don't know if you can say fruits, but whatever. Roots and fruit. Roots, we're going to talk roots. Roots find ways and make plans to access nourishment. And fruit comes when you have accessed that nourishment and you face toward the world. And so what I want to talk about is this value of a congregation of growing people. And in order to look at these two aspects of what growing people, what the trees planted by streams of water look like, I wanted to look at this Colossians 2, 6 through 7. This is what it says. Colossians 2, 6. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so also walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I want to talk about these two words here in Greek. They're participles, rooted and built up, or roots and fruit. That's what we're looking at today, roots and fruit. So I want to talk a little bit, because as we talk about this next season, we're going to, today after church, we have our ministry fair outside. We have all of our ministries out there. And really, there's two ways, there's roots and fruit that we're looking for in this next season. I don't know where you're at as we go into this next season, this fall, but I do want us, one of the things about Psalm 1 that is really interesting is it's not like this tree. The tree is not sprung up by streams of water, The tree has been planted specifically and purposefully by streams of water. And one of the things as we go into the next season, as we go into this next ministry year, the fall that'll take us into the spring, is to ask the question, where do you want to plant yourself? Where is a place that you will both find a place for roots to go, but also for fruit to bear? And so let's talk about this idea of being rooted first. So rooted, it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him. And I think one of the cool things about roots, I've been thinking a lot about roots recently, and I've shared the story about the trees by our house. If you just water them on the top, the big eucalyptus trees, the roots don't go down. And I've been just thinking about roots. We don't see roots a lot, do we? If they come to the surface, they like crack the sidewalk, right? And they don't belong at the surface. They belong down deep. And the thing about roots is we don't see them as much. No tree can survive without roots, but we don't see them. They're the invisible growth. They're the thing that makes the tree sturdy. They are the means by which we make plans and we access nourishment. Roots are awesome. They're the means by which trees establish location and access nourishment. A tree being rooted means it's placed in a certain spot, right? It can't just like walk through the dirt to another spot. It's about location in many ways, right? So I love this image for us as growing people. So to think about this and just to think about yourself as being rooted. You live in a location. That's part of your being rooted. You are in a cluster of relationships. That's something about being rooted. And this idea of being planted, we are planting ourselves in places that are adjacent to the nourishment we need. Whether those are the relationships around us or whether those are the habits we have in this location, it's about being planted and getting our roots adjacent to the nourishment that we need. Some of that is individual, right? Like when you think about being rooted, some of the nourishment you need does not depend on anyone else around you except for you. Wake up in the morning, you address God. Maybe you say a verse. Maybe you say like Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. Because you're laying on an altar, a bed, right? It's like an altar, right? So while you're laying on the bed, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, first thing. Maybe that's the first thing you do. Or maybe you wake up and you recite maybe the Lord's Prayer. Or maybe while you're drinking coffee in the morning, because every good person drinks a good cup of coffee every morning. Maybe matcha, okay, whatever. Like, you get it. It's probably hot, but all the kids do cold coffee. Like, I don't know. Look, I'm a growing person, so I'm going to learn about those things. I just had kombucha yesterday. That's growth for me, okay? So I'm learning, I'm a growing person. But this idea, whatever you do, some of these things depend on you. Habits that you have in the morning. Maybe as you have your breakfast, you're reading your Bible. This is about your habit. Some of the rooting that you need and that I need are about our own habits, okay? So whatever, maybe that involves prayer, Bible study, whatever it might be, turning your attention to God, talking to God, listening for his guidance, expressing gratitude to Jesus for what he's done, opening myself up to what the Holy Spirit might want to do in my life. Some of that is individual. So rooting, being rooted, putting those roots down is partially about habits. And maybe in the season that's coming up, you might want to think about habits. Maybe you're like, gosh, like, I'll tell you one thing. As I started this year, I had a group of guys who all opted in about memory verses. And over the summer, and I know you see, I have fallen off the truck, everybody. I used to send out every Monday like a memory verse update, and I've fallen off. I'm back on because I'm like, summer's over, and it's time to get back to a habit that gives me life and nourishment. And maybe you're the same way. Maybe it's just time to think about what is that habit that you have had, and maybe summer has thrown you off your game. That's fair. That happens. But maybe you're like, hey, it's fall, and it's time to re-up on a habit that I know gives me nourishment. Roots. That's being rooted. So maybe it is about something that you want to do or you want to re-up on. Okay? But sometimes our rooting is about being corporate, is about being in a like that cluster of relationships. Am I surrounded by people who are removing distractions and calling attention to God in my life? Am I in a life group? Like, are you in a life group? Or are you in a Bible study that values life change? Not simply like, sometimes we get into Bible study and it's just a place to like complain to each other. Or sometimes we get in Bible study and we're just like parroting the things that we learned 20 years ago. It's not like about growing. It's just about like talking about political talking points. That's not Bible study. That's just like getting together and talking about the things from 20 years ago and there's no change. Are you in a group that values life change? Right? That's the idea of I am part of a congregation of growing people. So this is the big question about your corporately. Am I in a group where my roots are accessing nourishment that is leading to growth? Okay, so whether that's a life group or a Bible study or a young moms group or whatever it is, that's what we're looking for as we think about our ministry fair outside. So some of what you're going to be doing is to ask the question like, am I in a season where I need to sink my roots deeper? And maybe this is a time to make some decisions about that. Now, at the same time, maybe you're like, look, I feel good about my roots, where my roots are. My individual habits are pretty good. And maybe you are. If you are, good job, okay? I don't feel like I'm there, but that's awesome if that's the case. Walk in Christ, rooted, and if you're doing that, that's fantastic. But also, as we think about our ministry fair, it's not just about putting down roots. Trees that just grow and don't produce any fruit are not the best trees. I mean, we have a bunch of those around here in Irvine. Sometimes, and again, I don't want to downplay shade, because shade is awesome. I love shade. Shade in the courtyard, in church life, shade equals fellowship, right? Shade equals fellowship. So I don't want to say it, just growth as a tree, shade can be provided, but fruit is also one of the things that is a good bonus from a tree that is growing. So Colossians 2:6, therefore as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. And built up, we're going to take that image of the tree and we're equating building up with fruit. And this is the idea that we're not just sinking our roots into the ground. What we are also doing, and when we sink our roots into the ground, it really helps us and it might help the people kind of around us immediately. But when we start talking about fruit, we're talking about public facing, outside facing posture of what we have to offer to a community of people who are dying of malnutrition. They're dying of an economy that is using all of their attention on things that don't matter. We're talking about fruit. We're talking about nutrients that the world needs but cannot get from itself. That only the body of Christ and God's kingdom can provide the nutrients for a world that is dying. And so we're talking about, yes, sinking our roots here in community, but also finding the means of nourishment for ourselves, but we're also talking about yielding fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Trees producing shade for a world that is getting scorched. Trees producing fruit for a world that needs nutrients it cannot find on its own. And as you think about this upcoming fall, this is the second question. Maybe the first is, where do you need to be rooted? But where do you want to see fruit? Like, where can you be a blessing to someone else that is not you or in your immediate circle? Is there a way you can be a blessing beyond your own growth? So Roots is about in some ways, we think about Roots, when we think about our ministry fair, Roots is about participating in a ministry. Am I part of a life group? But Fruit might be serving in that ministry. Am I leading a life group? Right? Because it's one thing to participate, that's putting your roots down, but Fruit is when you're actually taking a next step and being a blessing to other people. And there, look, we've got a congregation full of people who I know are a blessing to other people, but as we are in this next season, to ask the question, is there a way that I can step out and be a blessing to other people? Roots is about participating, and maybe you're in a season where you need to begin to participate more. Fruit is about being a blessing, serving in a ministry. And so this, as we kind of go into this next season, to ask the question, where will you root, participate, and where will you fruit, serve? See, this is what they do when they teach about preaching. You have to like say these things that rhyme and all this stuff. Where will you find your nourishment, and where will you give of yourself? As we're here in the fall, those two questions are super important as we go into the fall. And maybe you're in a season where you're like, I feel like I'm giving myself everywhere. I need nourishment. That's awesome. Maybe you're like, I've got nourishment. I need to find a place to serve. And as we go out, this question about how will you plant yourself, there's a number of things that we're kind of, as we look at the life of our church, some places where we need fruit, and we need people who are willing to serve and to give of themselves. There's a few places. I'm just going to highlight a couple, and then we'll go out. We'll do the Lord's Supper, and then we'll go out to the ministry fair. There's snacks and drinks, things like that, and shade, because shade equals fellowship, right? So in the ministry fair, there's a number of things. Some of them are really facing our children's ministry. Our children's ministry is growing. Our Fall Fest this next year, our Fall Fest, the Saturday before Halloween, is one of the best. I mean, it's an all-hands-on-deck event. Like, if you're part of our church, we just come and serve. Like, sign up and serve. It's going to be great. Actually, this year, we're going to have a petting zoo at our Fall Fest. One of the things that we want to do as a church is we want to provide a place for really young families and elementary-aged and preschool-aged families to come and have a place where they can make Halloween memories. Let me say, we want to provide a place because we don't feel like in the circle, like the Halloween event, the trunk or treat, we don't feel like that's family friendly. We want to be a place, and I think what we've seen is we've been a place in our community where young families can come and have a safe place to make family memories and know that church is a place that loves them and finds them to be special and important in our community. All right? It's called strategery, everybody. All right? But we think that this is one of our callings of being rooted in this place. We can do this. And so what I tell Marcia every year is I'm like, how can we do it better next year? How can we make it bigger next year? What can we do? So we decided petting zoo. Petting zoo and pumpkin patch. Those are the two things that we're doing. I'm pumped up about this. Like, this is awesome. Live, what could go wrong? Live animals, right? I don't know. Okay, so, but here's the thing. I expect everybody to sign up to volunteer at Fall Fest. Everybody in this room, you're all signed up. So come, right? I'm joking. You come participate, come whatever you're going to do. A couple of other things. Our midweek Awana program has actually been growing. And we need more people. We have kids that are learning verses and need people to tell their verses to. Our Awana program is a place where we need to see fruit among our church. If you feel like you have a heart that you want to see God work in the life of young people, Awana is a wonderful place to do that. Also, our Sunday morning kid ministry. 4 years ago, we were averaging just under 10 students in our Sunday morning kid min. That number has doubled. And now we have not just two classes, we have three classrooms that need to be stocked. I already said we had 8 babies in our nursery, although they have people that hold them. So, but we need people that will pour into our other kids that are there. Marsha will be out on the courtyard about Fall Fest, about Awana. Terry will be out there as well, and also about our kid men. We also have some needs as we're talking about just fruit. Our Sunday morning setup crew, we have some really faithful people that set up. That is, set up coffee, donuts, all the things that take place on a Sunday morning, put out signs. But we have a need for more people. We need to put together a schedule where it's like one Sunday a month, somebody's doing it. Another Sunday a month, another person is doing it. And to kind of fill that out, if you feel like you have an hour before church or maybe an hour and a half before church that you could be part of that, you can sign up out there. Janelle Sherrod will be out there for that. Also, our communion, our Lord's Supper setup, Nate and Sarah are the ones that do that, and they'll be help. We want to add people into this on a Sunday morning. One of the cool things about communion and about Sunday morning is, as you're setting up, and this is something that I enjoy doing, as I like get on campus, I start walking around, I just start praying, like at the coffee, like, God, there's going to be people who come to this coffee that just need your touch in their life. Would you bless them? And as you're setting up, you can pray for people. Every single one of these communion cups that has been filled and put together has been prayed over. You're going to come up and you're going to know that somebody has prepared this and loved this and knows that you need a touch from the Lord and that this is part of your life of faith, and you can do that. Or maybe it's volunteering for our welcome team. And as people come in, you're not just apex predators that are picking off the weak ones, which is kind of what our people do, which is awesome. I love how aggressive our greeters are. But as people come, you see people coming to worship. When I was at Voyagers Bible Church and I oversaw that ministry, one of our leaders, Zane, I remember Zane, and he just said, it is such a blessing because I see people and I know the things that are going on in their life, and I see them coming hungry to worship God. And so as I greet and I welcome them, I recognize that God is at work in their life, and they're coming in because they need and they've come to worship. And there's something about serving in that way and seeing in a fresh way what God is doing. Our worship and tech. You don't know it, but there's about 13 people that are in this room that are either behind a camera, in a room on the switcher, working the sound, or doing the slides, or doing lights, or somewhere around doing something behind the scenes or on the stage that are leading you in worship. And we like to say, if you're in the sound booth, you are leading in worship. There's 20 streams right now. There's 20 households that are streaming this service into their homes. And that happens because we have two people on camera and one person up in the switcher room and people that are monitoring to make sure that we're still up and running, to make sure that people are able to participate who cannot be here. But we need fruit in order to do that. That's what we're doing here. And so as we think about the fall, as we think about that, and maybe you're thinking like, hey, that's something I would like to learn. I don't know a ton about tech, but I can learn. And Adelie will be out there, and she'll be taking and just having those conversations. It is one of the coolest, and again, our little pre-service, if nothing else, just do it to be part of our pre-service prayer circle. Because we learn so much about each other, we have questions, we pray for each other, we pray for what's going on. It's a real honor to be part of that. Fruit. But maybe you're like, I need to root. Maybe you need to be part of a life group. And there, we'll have a table out there. I'll be out at the life group. Maybe you need to be part of our women's ministry. Our women's barbecue is happening on September 13th. Maybe you need to go to men's retreat at Thousand Pines, September 26th or 28th. Maybe that's a way you need to root. Or maybe you need to find another way. There's all kinds of things. It's all out there. Maybe you're thinking about missions. It's all out there. And so I know I've said a lot. But even as I've said some things, I think that the way the Holy Spirit works is that, like, even with our values, as we say our values, it starts to resonate with us. And the strings keep vibrating. You know how you play a piano, like we talked about yelling into a piano, and it just the strings start to vibrate. And maybe there's something that I said or some ministry that I said, and you feel the strings kind of vibrating in you. And you're like, okay, I think the Spirit is saying, I need to do that. And I don't know what that is. It's probably different for everybody in here. But what I would just encourage you is I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, but we're going to have an opportunity to participate in the Lord's Supper. And as we do this, I just would just ask that you would just open yourself up to the Spirit and say, Spirit, what are you asking me to do as we move into the fall? Or better yet, Spirit, what are you doing in my life, and how can I respond to that?